Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the new day. Lord, even though it's bright outside, it's not the cool side this morning, but we pray your good hand upon us as we, Lord, sing these old songs and read this good old book and fellowship and teaching and preaching around your word. We pray especially this morning for Brother Steve. Lord, I know it's physically, it's the last thing anybody wants. I pray the Lord, please, for your good hand upon him. I pray, Father, if it would be your will, to lift him out of his sickbed and set him on his feet and just help him to get sorted anything that does need to be sorted. Know also, Father, that each one of us here has a private prayer request. Questions that we have in our hearts that we don't want to share publicly, but we do know that you know. And I pray, Father, please, that those two would be answered according to your will. Please be with our brothers and sisters across the world at this time. Please deliver to each one of us, Father, our daily bread, spiritually speaking and physically speaking. And Father, we pray that even in these last of the last days, when wickedness and devilment is abounding on every single hand, Lord, that you would oppose that, that you would still be in the business of convicting souls of their sins and saving their souls and edifying your children. Bless our time now in your house, Father, and please be with us as we lift up these hymns and songs. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I want to say we're going to go to the big hymn book, but first of all I'm going to go to my big glasses so that I can actually read the words in the big hymn book. And if you would like to take a turn to... Amen. Hymn number 162, and to God be the glory. We've been singing so many of those old hymns from the Black Book. I actually thought we'd doubled up on this one, but we haven't. This is Bradley, but I'm sorry about that. To God be the glory. We'll remain seated for the first of our hymns this morning. warm us all up for the, or to have the music playing in the background. Just stay in the big hymn books, if you would. And I think maybe if we just go back a page to 160. And here's another good old one. It's Crown Him with Many Crowns. Again, we'll remain seated as we sing.
Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken from the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God, God is not in his, God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He crouches in the humble himself, that the poor man fall by his strong one. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contempt God? He has said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast set it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite, to require it with thy hand. The poor commit themselves unto thee, thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man, seek out his wickedness till you find none. The Lord is king for ever and ever, the heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man, the earth, may no more oppress. Amen. Yeah.
Thank you. Good verses there. I think I started off underlining. If I ever come across a verse that really jumps out at me, I'll underline it. But there were so many, I just drew a big green line around that whole psalm. Some of those things apply to us directly today. Especially the way folks behave. They say, God is forgotten and he hides his face and we will never see it. That is just it's a fool's end. Thank you for that. Just want to remind you again today, are we on the blue one?
Yes.
That's today, the 16th and the 23rd. Is there any word on Edith Norman?
She's got to go back on Wednesday again, but she's still no different, she's still the same. Yes. No change.
Just continue to pray for Norman's sister Edith. She had that burst blood vessels in her eyes, and she's blinded by it. So please do pray for Edith. Please also pray for that Alan fellow that has cancer that Will works with. We'd also appreciate your prayers for David King. He came and visited with us a few times. He's just not doing the very best with his health right now. We'd ask if you would pray for David. And of course, please do pray for Steve. He's having a rough ride this past few months. Please do pray that the Lord see him through everything that's going on. And of course, Frank. Frank's still recuperating as well. Please pray for Frank. For that me. That should be together for you. Please pray for my car. It's not a mind of its own right now. Please do pray for Frank. And is there anything else that we need to be? Oh, yes. Will's Aunt Ivory is in hospital with a stroke. Please do pray for her.
Thank you.
everybody runs off with it, they'll find themselves with more trouble than they could be bothered with. Is there anything else we need to add to prayer list apart from my car going bonkers? Nothing else? That's good. Take it where everybody, I have Norman and Will, Will, Pat and Steve do, Link and Monica and myself down for private prayer requests. Is that still a go? Okay. Anybody got any thanks? Anything you'd like to add to the thanks list? Oh, yes.
That Steve went to hospital so quickly. Because there's a day he would have, I don't think Pat gave him a choice, but there's a day he would have waited. So he went the same day the pain started, so that is a blessing.
Yes, indeed. Remember that. Oh, that reminds me, Norman. I'm going to give this to you now, and I see that we've got a brown paper sticking out of my Bible. Amen. Right, let's have a word of prayer. Well, if you wouldn't mind, brother, would you lead us?
Dear Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for giving us the world for all and every good thing to come into your house today. May you make our stay in your house enjoyable, Lord. Teach us many things, Lord, and may our offerings, our blessings, our praise, Lord, everything we can do for you, may be accepted in your sight, Lord, and may it wonderful heaven as our precious world, Lord. So many thanks to pray about, Lord. Remember, ask God, remember Frank, Lord, who's in the hospital, Lord, heal mightily and powerfully, and help him eat better, Lord, and give us strength and provide for this, Lord, Lord. We've called wherever he is, Lord, for many trouble, Lord, keep safe and well, Lord. John, closer to walk with thee and keep safe and well. See if Stephen called John, Lord, save the souls mighty and powerfully, mighty word. We have Taylor Christ, give him strength, Lord, and help him mighty and powerfully, help him keep safe and well, Lord. We have Stephen, this is in the hospital, Lord. Fill from any trouble, Lord. Take away any pain, discomfort, or anything, or reduce the infection, Lord. Help him mighty and strengthen his girdle up, and strengthen his boy, Lord, that he has all infection and all problems and all pain and suffering, Lord, and help him mighty and powerfully. And Lord, give him grace and mighty and part of us, well, Lord. Good path, give us strength, keep us safe from well, Lord. Also, remember, there, Lord, wherever he is, Lord, keep us safe from well, Lord. Bless that man, Lord, and draw a closer walk with you, keep us safe from well, Lord. And raise your manners, Lord. Lord, also give John Bradfield, keep us safe from well, Lord. And keep him well as well, Lord. And Ripple, also, we're packing, Lord, don't have any trouble, Lord. And help her in her back problems, Lord, and any other health problems she has. Keep us safe from well, Lord. Good this week, as we are in the sermon, Lord. Lord, you might give us a blessing, Lord. You might give us a blessing, Lord. And Lord, get us through that word and help us to start. You also remember the tracks that went through the doors yesterday off the trench road, Lord. You might use it mighty and powerfully. Touch people's hearts, Lord, by the Spirit. And Lord, convict them, Lord, and save their souls, Lord, mighty and powerfully through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins, Lord. A work that we can't fully repay, Lord, but by grace are we saved, Lord. And I thank you for your great and wonderful blessings, Lord, and we have to give Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Let's take our big hymn books again and turn to this time 377. 377 in the big hymn books. That is Rescue the Perishing. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing.
We are.
suggestion for our pre-sermon song, Frank or Ling, Norman? We all got to pick whenever before the service started, so if any of you guys in the middle row have a hymn that you'd like for us all to sing, now would be the time to let us know. I'll give you that one. Any suggestions? I feel like almost like an auctioneer, and I'm going to 361. Which one's that one? Sounds good to me. 361. Did you think to pray? going to read from verse 1 to 23. I want to take a few moments this morning and think on the subject, who is he to you? This is a message I am sure I have spoken on a little bit before, but I'd like to take and have another swipe at it this morning. Matthew chapter 16, who is he? That is, of course, Jesus. Who is Jesus to you? It's good to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day morning. I know some days it you don't feel like reading the Bible and you don't feel like praying. And it is those days whenever the Bible reading and the prayer is the most important thing that you can be doing then, because it means that you have won a victory over your feelings and over your world's popular opinion, and you have served God in the face of two, maybe three of our greatest enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. So amen. Let's read Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse number 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him, that's Jesus, that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which, when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets you took up. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, and this is going to be our text this morning, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Amen. That's our text is going to be verses 13, 14, 15, and 16. And we are taking as our title the, my version of the Lord's words in verse 15, but who say ye that I am? Who is he to you? Let's have a quick prayer and then we will get to it. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the life and health and strength to be here. And I pray you, Lord, please, that you'd be one of our number. That you would open our understanding, that you would open my mouth. And Lord, that this would be a blessed time in your presence.
Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving your Son as the full and complete payment for our sins, Lord, and the cast iron guarantee of heaven as our hope when we trust in you for salvation. We love you and praise you and thank you, Lord. And we hold you to your promise this morning that you'll be one of our men. Please, Lord, minister to our brethren, wherever they might be, as they sit and listen to the preaching and teaching of your word. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father. Amen. Amen.
Verse numbers 13, 14, and 15, the first thing that the Lord asks of the people, of the disciples, is, what does everybody else say about me? And then verse number 15, but what do you say? But before we get into that, I want to just pass comment on a few of the verses that we read there, because it's all in the Bible for a reason. It's all very, very important, and you would be surprised at the particular verses in the Bible which made profound differences in people's lives. It's all worth, at the very least, casting your eye off over. Whenever we open our reading this morning, we are looking at the religious people and the religious people and how they treated Jesus Christ, forever looking for a sign or a wonder. And we know that the Lord said, look, a wicked and adulterous, this is what he says, the only sign that will be given to you is the sign of the prophet Jonas. And one of the other gospels expands on that and tells us in the same way that Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the fish, the Lord said that he would be 3 nights in the heart of the earth. We're not going into that right now, but that is the sign. You can see Christ and him crucified for you when you repent of your sins. That is the most important sign that Jesus died for the complete payment of your sins and raised again, victorious over the death and the grave, so that we could know that there is more. We can trust him as Savior, that he's as good as his word. The thing with religious people is, especially these religious people, and religious people don't change. Religious people tend to be never happy. And we know from this that the Lord has just previously fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, and then not long after fed 4,000 men, not counting women and children, from literally the two packs of apps. Literally is what, if you were to go down to Frank Long's and you get your six packs of big baps, from 2 packs of apps and a handful of fish, handful of tins of tuna, or whatever it was that happens to pass for sandwich filling back in the day. There were 2 miracles that God used to do for the children of Israel in the desert whenever he delivered them from Egypt. For 40 years he did that very same miracle every single day. He fed the multitudes. So he was basically showing that he was God doing this same thing again. And we know that even as the Lord cast out devils out of people in the synagogues and around and about, that the scribes and the Pharisees used to say, with a plain demonstration of his power, oh, he's doing these miracles by the power of the devil. So it wouldn't have mattered what he had done. They were determined not to believe. And I know this is going to sound, personally speaking, the leader of your church, the guy that stands at the front of the church every week, I have had experiences with Methodist ministers, I've had experiences with Presbyterian ministers, with Church of Ireland, and with Catholic priests, and pretty much none of them have been good. One Church of Ireland minister asked me what I was doing out handing leaflets out. And I actually had to say to him, are you for real? The Bible says to go and tell people they need to get saved. Methodist minister's wife told me that they always had the greatest bother with born again. This is a Methodist minister. These are the big four churches. The Roman Catholic priests, they don't believe. It's an anathema to say that you believe by faith that your soul is saved. That's completely against the Catholic Church. The Presbyterian Church, they think God's going to save you. They're very much steeped in the teachings of Calvin, that God will save you whether you want to be saved or not. And he is very happy with the way things are, with people not being saved. But the Bible plainly teaches that is not the case. He says, I take no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. So turn yourselves and live you. Religious people, people that have this set of rules that keep religious people at the top of the pie and treats people like servants instead of being servants to the people that need to get to heaven, will never be pleased. And when you show them what Jesus said, it flies in the face of, it basically means that if they say, well, you're right, that means they're wrong. That means that they really should take their religious robes off and bow the knee to Jesus and humble themselves in the sight of God. And that would be that. They can't do that. So as we read on, we come across what they call a teachable moment. They arrive at the other side of the sea, and they've brought no food. And so the Lord says, using the things that we experience every day as a stepping stone for to increase their faith, he said, beware the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. And they're more fixed upon their immediate need, which is an empty belly and something to eat. And he says, look, do you not understand that God can take care of those physical things? Now remember how many people were fed that were starving in the wilderness. I'm talking to you about the teachings of religious people, the same religious people that's keeping the man in the street down to elevate themselves up. Be careful about what you believe about what they say. There is an awful danger in the absence of good teaching and preaching and the presence of bad teaching and preaching. I don't know if you've seen or noticed right now about the great push to remove God and the Word of God from everything. If some Muslim would stand up and cry their eyes out because Jesus was being taught in a primary school that they'd been able to send their child to learn English and maths and all about Britain and get put food in their mouth and a roof over their head, and they'll cry about here in the name of Jesus Christ, the whole school will bend over backwards and Jesus will be removed. No hymns. Goodness, I remember, I wasn't saved. But the reason I remember so many of the old hymns is because I used to sing them in primary school. I was in the choir. Unfortunately, I was too good for my own good. And the one year I decided to be a man at the tender age of like 9 or 10, but I wouldn't go for the choir. They hunted me down for it. Said, why were you not in the choir? I said, I didn't want to be. Get away down to the choir. That was it. And so I had another 2 years of singing hymns. And it stood me in good stead. I love these old hymns. These old hymns with teaching and preaching in them. But they're being gone. They're being removed. The Bible's not the Bible. Has anybody ever heard the old saying that nature abhors a vacuum? if there's nothing there, if you take all the weeds out of your garden and don't put anything into it, I guarantee you in about a fortnight you'll have weeds back again. Nature abhors a vacuum. If you put good plants in there, the weeds will not grow. But if you don't do anything there, the weeds will grow back. Have you ever heard in these police stories where they have a drug kingpin, one that the police can work with, and they get rid of him, and five more rush in to take his place in the market? Maybe that's not a great thing to use, but you understand what I mean. If you have a vacuum, air will rush in to take its place. Anyway, if you have no good teaching in your head, it'll be filled with bad teaching. Because each and every one of us strives and looks for something great to believe in. And if the greatest thing that you have to believe in is your own feelings and the teachings of men, you're going to be in bad shape. Because sooner or later, you are going to come across a supernatural event that man can't do a single thing about. And that supernatural event is whenever your spirit leaves your body. Your body goes under the ground and your soul goes to wherever you have chosen it to go. What do you do then? What does the Catholic Church, Protestant Church, Methodist Church, Presbyterian Church, Mormon Church, Muslim Church, Seventh-day Adventist Church, what are they going to do? What comfort do they have? If the gospel of Christ is not preached, if all of the souls involved are not saved, that is a terrible, unrecoverable loss. But if you are, if you have trusted the God of the Bible as your Savior, as your friend, as your guide, as your Father, well, that is simply a matter of maybe with some pain or discomfort stepping off of this world into the next one. And the Bible promises you that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Even in Luke chapter 16, the Bible records how Lazarus was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. You want that for everybody. Everybody wants it. But nobody but the Word of God and gospel preaching delivers it. Anyway, that's why we're so stuck in the King James Bible, and that's why the Lord left us a yardstick, so that even if there's no good churches and no good preachers, you can get yourself a King James Bible and read it for yourself. That's why he said, heaven and earth will pass away before my word passes away. Anyway, he goes on after that warning about the teachings of the Pharisees and the scribes, and he asks about people's opinion. So we'll come to that in just a second. And I want to speak about one of the instances of Peter. And they ask Peter, who do people say that I am? And Peter admits that he's the Messiah. And then the Lord says this strange thing. He says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because this has been revealed to you by my Father in heaven. He says, thou art Peter, Petros, which is a small rock, and upon this rock, Petra, myself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, I am going to give to you, and not only did he give them to Peter, he gave them to every saved soul, the key. What's the key to the kingdom of heaven? It's getting saved, it's salvation. That is the key to the kingdom of heaven. And this is what the Lord said. Whatever you loose on the earth will be loosed in heaven. In other words, whoever is released from the bondage of their sin in heaven through salvation will be free for the endless ages of eternity. But it also says, whoever and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. In other words, if someone doesn't receive your words and refuses to be loosed, in other words, they're still bound in bondage of trespass and sin, that is the way they go into eternity, not to heaven. And Peter's probably thinking, great, The Lord has just given me the keys to eternity. And then the Lord starts telling them about, well, his crucifixion, what everybody in the world was thinking about and enjoying a fortnight ago, and everyone was being religious, and the shops actually closed for a few days. Well, a day, maybe not even 24 hours, but there you go. But when Peter says and starts to rebuke him, Lord, don't be saying those things. Jesus says, get thee hence from me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. I want for you to know that just because you get saved, it doesn't make you perfect. It just means you're a saved sinner instead of a lost sinner. You are going to make mistakes. It doesn't mean you embrace them. It means you learn from them and grow past them. But anyway, I want to take a minute or two, verses 13, 14, and 15. Because with the absence of a lot of Bible teaching, just being part and parcel of everyday life, especially in the West, people don't really have a good idea of Jesus at all. They think he's like Father Christmas. He's nearly been relegated to the style or the type of person as Father Christmas, that he appears once at Christmas in the world, and everyone in the West closes their shops, and he appears once at Easter, and everyone in the West closes their shops. And from the view of the people, they're not very much known about him anymore. And whenever people don't have something solid to hold on to, they'll be swept this way and that way, just like a boat in the sea, just like, I think the Bible talks about being tossed about with every wind of change. They're unaware of their real and personal need, and so many people are involved in alcohol and immorality and violence and thrills and spills. And so when they're asked about Jesus, what? Who do people say that he is? Some people just say he was a bit like Buddha. He was a very wise, a very kind man, and he had some great morality tales to tell, which were written down in the Bible. Some say he is a man that raised himself to power through meditation on one thing and another. The Mormon Church would teach that you can be like Jesus. You can raise yourself to being a god by attending church and so on and so forth. The Bible doesn't say that. The New Age, if you have a New Age background and you were ignorant of the Word of God because it's not taught in Sunday school anymore, or indeed even in public school, you would say maybe he is an ascended master, something similar to the Mormons. He has studied and meditated and he has reached an expanded level of enlightenment. That might even be somewhere along Hinduism, but that's New Age. Now, some people might say he is a physical manifestation of God. Some people, like the Pharisees, would say, the religious people, oh, he was just a very charismatic leader. What did the Pharisees say? Whenever he dies, his movement will die with him. That's what they said. If you were a Muslim, you would maybe have heard the name of Jesus Christ and you would say, well, he is, we will acknowledge him as a prophet, as a very wise man, but we don't need to do anything that he says because we have the prophet Muhammad's writing. The Mormons would also say that he's the half-brother of the devil. Other religions would depict him as a child that can be manipulated through his mother. We're talking about the Catholic Church. Go to Mary. 9 Hail Marys for every Our Father and the rosary beads, so Mary gets 9 times as much consideration as Jesus does. Some people would think that he is a distant and uncaring God that you need an intermediary to go to, and he only visits once in the blue moon. Many people think he is a vengeful and angry deity, and he is just waiting for you to sin, to do something wrong, and he will punish you. getting it completely wrong. In John chapter 3, it just tells us we're all sinners already. We're all condemned. Jesus didn't come to doubly condemn us. He came to save us from that condemnation. Now, that's partially true, where it says about where people think that the Lord's waiting for us to make a mistake so he can rain down wrath from heaven on you. The Bible says God's wrath abides with the lost soul until the day that he gets saved, or until the day that he steps off into eternity. And after that, the wrath will fall. And it's not good. Why would you want to be there? That's what other people think. Now, it's interesting to consider other people's opinions. I do. Because as other people speak to me, that lets me know where they are. It lets me know what they need to hear from the Word of God. It lets me know the words to say. And so I can take them from where they are and say, well, the Bible says this. God says this. Your faith actually says this, which is in complete opposition to the Bible. What are you going to do? If you're not going to listen to what the Bible says, you can't call yourself a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, you're not going to heaven. So what are you going to do? It doesn't matter what other people say. It matters what you think of Jesus. When it comes to the saving of your soul, when it comes to the living of your life, when it comes to how you treat people and what you do, because bear in mind in the book of Romans, I have to look it up for the right reference, Romans 14, it says that none of us live to ourselves and none of us die to ourselves. We affect other people. But we should be affecting other people for good. Not letting other people affect us for evil. When it comes to heaven, when it comes to the saving of your soul, it's up to you. When it comes to the saving of Frank's soul, it's up to Frank. When it comes to the saving of Norman's soul, it's up to Norman. Monica, her, Will, herself, Ling, it's up to Ling. Me, that's entirely up to me. And I'm going to tell you, it's not a democracy. If it was a democracy, everyone would be going to heaven. And that's just the long and short of it. It's more like a republic, where the needs of the individual are considered. If it was a democracy, God the Father wants you in heaven. God the Son wants you in heaven. God the Holy Spirit wants you in heaven. All of the holy angels want you in heaven. All of the people in hell want you in heaven. And all of the people in heaven want you in heaven. All of the saved people on earth want you in heaven. If it was a vote by faction, you would go to heaven. It's not up to everybody else, it's up to you. What do you think of Jesus Christ? As somebody once said to me, it's all about who is Jesus to you and what have you done with him. If you do not believe him to be the only begotten Son of God, who gave his life for the complete payment for sins, not just up to the minute that you get saved, but for the rest of your life and the endless ages of eternity. If you don't believe that, how are you going to escape? In Hebrews it says, how are you going to escape if you neglect such a great salvation? If you don't repent of your sins, the Bible says, if you don't have Christ as your Savior, if you're listening to what the world, the flesh, and the devil says, you'll be saying, save yourself. But that would mean that you would have to be at least as powerful as Jesus. So, whenever you die, bring yourself back to life. Prove yourself to be equal to God Almighty. Nobody's done it. Even all those people that have frozen themselves in cryogenic chambers thinking that science is going to come along and revive them and heal them of whatever disease. Every single cell on our body has a life. I think there's little things called telomeres, which govern the age of every single cell in your body, and there comes a time when they just quit working. Your body stops, sin gets the better of us, even as Christians. and we step off into eternity. However, if you do understand Jesus Christ to be your Savior, if you have taken a moment even and have a read through the Bible, if you have listened to the preaching, because sometimes it takes an awful lot longer to read through the Bible. A lot of people would start at Genesis and start reading when a newcomer really should start in the Gospels, because it's more important than you get saved than you get the history. If you do see Christ as the risen Savior, if you do understand Him to be a forgiving God, if you do know that there is a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned, and you trust Him as your Savior, He will be your Savior, your big brother, your intercessor, your friend, your guide, your Lord, your Father, your organizer, if you let Him. He will be the one that strengthens you, that comforts you, that guides you, that helps you overcome, that helps provide for you. He will be the one that works miracles and more in your life in the here and now. He will do that for you. Most importantly, in starting with the saving of your soul and the giving of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Important what you think about God. I was reminded of Peter again at the end of John. Whenever the Lord had forgiven him for rejecting him those three times, whenever he was challenged about being one of the disciples. Do you remember the Lord said to him, Simon Peter, lovest thou me? And he said it three times. I do believe that was to forgive him for the three rejections. And he said, of course I do. And then at the very end, he was grieved as he agreed. And he said, well, that's us. We're clear, Peter, but you're going to give your life pretty much the same way as I did. And after that was done and dusted, Peter turned and said, what about him? What's John for doing? Tell us what John's for doing. You know what Jesus said to him? Don't worry. What I have in store for everybody else, follow thou me. It's between you and me. If you and I are walking the same way and everybody else is walking the same way as me, we'll all be going the same direction, doing the Lord's will, and it will work out. It says it will in Romans chapter 8. Everything will work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. That is why I'm going up in the next three quarters of an hour or so up to the Crescent Link. I guarantee you there are people up there that won't hear another word about Jesus Christ until the next time you get up to the Crescent Link. It is important that people hear about God, about the God that forgives and a God that saves. It's important that they see what that God can do in your life. And it is important that you take time to talk to Him and even learn more about Him and even poke the coals a bit in your heart and in your mind. What does the Bible say? Stir up your remembrance. It's a very personal decision. It's between you and God. But it has biblical rewards in this life and for all eternity. And I guarantee you, you will want to be on the right side of it. I guarantee you. Whenever you think of the Lord, just remember who He is, what He has done for you. We're stopping there. Thank you for your good time and for your attention. I appreciate it. Don't forget, as you go through your day, even for a moment in prayer, to think of Brother Steve. Colin, we never mentioned either. I think we all did. Pray for each other. There is much going on, and we need much prayer. All right. Hymn number 65. Hymn number 65 in the big books is Just Over in Glory Land. Here, if you would like, let's stand as we sing. Please don't forget our prayer request. I think it's very important that as you go through your day and you think of Steve, just call his name out to the Lord. It's a very, very difficult time right now. Trying to beat an infection that needs that sort of antibiotics. I know you all prayed for me, and I felt it. I was never afraid. Please pray for Steve. Not just as in there. Let's bow our heads, close our heads, and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this little aside from the world. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for being our friend, but sick of closer than a brother, our intercessor, and the Father to whom we can go at any time of the day or night and boldly because of the great salvation you've given us. Bless us as we go our separate ways to our own homes, Father, and please, I pray, just help us, constrain us, chasten us, comfort us, strengthen us, Lord, day by day. Give us this day our daily bread. We love you and thank you, and we ask all these things, Lord, especially for Steve right now, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Thank you again. Shake hands and fellowship.
I was